It started around the time he turned 16. Everyone and everything started grating on Connor's nerves. His mum, his dad, his teachers, even his best mate. Lately, he just can't help picking fights, slamming doors and flipping desks. And then his parents decided to dump him alone in a forest for a week. And what happens next? Well, we're not going to give that away because we're not about ruining the endings on Life Matters here. That's the plotline to a new play written by the Tasmanian playwright Finnegan Kruckmeyer. It's called The Violent Outburst That Drew Me to You, and it opens over in Sydney tonight. Finnegan, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks very much.
I mean, Connor is the moody teenage protagonist in your play.
He is.
You're twice his age. Are you in any way a young Finnegan?
No. I really tried to stray from the realm of autobiography here. I just thought it was, you know, too much of a can of worms to open if I were to start that. So no, this is a wholly hypothetical teenager who kind of has the qualities that I can associate with because, yeah, I was a teenager at some point, but I've also tried to do it with enough objective remove that I can just look at him as an interesting character. So I think it's pretty safe.
Why anger? Why did you want to explore anger with this play?
Well, it's interesting in that I've written quite a few works for teenagers and for children, and I think there can be a bit of a model of writing works for young children which are particularly safe in terms of the themes that they look at, and then works for teenager which are particularly given to this kind of aggressive trauma and angst. And so I've always kind of tried to move away from that in the works I've done, actually, and look at more comedic works for teenagers and more pathos-heavy works for younger children. But then there came a point where I went, well, no, if this is something which I haven't yet looked at in my writing career, then maybe the time has come to focus on it. So I tried to do that work, which is about a young man who's kind of on the cusp of becoming a fully established man, and he's kind of railing against everything around him. So it's kind of just come from there.
His parent. This is. It feels a little magic realism. Mm-hmm. Your approach here.
Yeah, I do have a little incline towards that.
It's a beautiful way to explore anger, because it could be construed as abuse. But what his parents do is they basically take him to a forest. Yep. And leave him there for a week.
Yeah, well, they essentially use his argument against him. So he has been saying vitriolically for quite a long time in the lead up that he wants to be away from them, he wants to be away from other people who he feels antagonise them, from systems like school, from, you know, the domesticity of home. And he said, I just want to be away from it all. And they said, well, we do have this cabin out in the woods, and so you can stay there for a week and you can kind of meet your demons face to face in this solitude and see what's born from there, and then when you're ready to come back, you can come back. So yeah, all the metaphor that's around a place like a forest and somebody, you know, being left alone to fight their battles in a forest, I definitely played with the magical realist quality of that. Mm. Because it felt rich and asking for it.
How would you describe his interior experience of anger? Because even though he feels trapped,
yeah,
it sounds like he has some self-awareness about the kind of battleground within, you know.
Yeah.
He's wrestling with it. And this is not something, you know, we often acknowledge is happening for people in their teens. We just think the anger is this sort of irrational rage that's going on. Whereas in fact, what you're doing here is intensely respectful of that kind of process that Connor's going through.
Oh, that's lovely of you to say. Thank you. That was definitely the intent. So it's really about his and then other teenagers by association not having the tools with which to articulate the things going on. So he has very complex emotions kind of rattling around his head, no less so than an adult who's in a quandary of identity and faith and love and all of that. The thing that he lacks is the means with which to verbalise it articulately. So he is as frustrated with himself, I think, for that inability, as he is with the people who aren't understanding him. So it's really, yeah, you get, because of the magic that is theatre and the thing that it allows us to do, you get at times to be privy to the inside of his head and see that great, witty statement that he would love to chuck out there so as to, you know, assuage this moment. And then you see the clumsy, inarticulate, frightened kind of response that he throws out instead. And the discomfort hopefully lies in the gap between the two, and maybe it's something people can relate to in their own experience of teenagehood.
We don't want to give it away, but what does being in the forest allow him to do? I mean, the parents think that he's going to battle the demons out. And I guess there's a kind of a parallel here that if this is happening in your household, giving people space, is that the best thing to do? I mean, so what does this kind of magic realist scene allow you to achieve for Connor?
You're right, yeah, it's a hard game in terms of how much to divulge, but really, I mean, essentially what it comes back to is that when he finds himself in this place of absolute isolation where it's just him wishing for the things that he would want to be happy, he finds, and I think it's okay to say this because it's in some of the marketing too, but he finds love. He comes across a young woman, his peer, 16 years old as well, who is also angry with the world, and their combined Bonnie and Clyde-ish kind of discomfort with what's around them means that it makes for this really great fermenting kind of love affair, or the burgeoning start of a love affair that could happen in the future. So it becomes a case of, you know, when one is at their most hopeless and helpless. I kind of like the idea, being a bit of a silly romantic myself, that at that point, you know, love could come along and that could broach the conversation that you need.
I think that's beautiful. Good on you, Finnegan. You are committed. I was really struck by a line in your biography. You're committed to making strong and respectful work for children. This is the focus of many of your award-winning plays, young people's stories, children's stories. Strong and respectful. What does respect mean for you?
Well, I think ultimately there has to be acknowledged this paradigm that the people who, for the great majority of the people who make works for children, are not the target audience, you know, that they're focusing on. They're adults kind of making assumptions about what a child audience can take. And so I think there is a bravery in children which can sometimes be missed. And I'm not at all talking about them having to be faced in terms of the characters they watch with gratuitous tragedy for the sake of it. But I think that a great story, whether we're a child or a teenager or an adult, is one in which you watch a protagonist come up against sizable hurdles and find a way from their own packet of tricks, you know, whatever makes them who they are, they find a way to overcome those things. And when I think back to fairy tales, which resound still to this day in my mind, or plays that I've seen when I was a child that I can remember for some reason where others I can't, it's usually that kind of situation where often a child protagonist has been faced with a hurdle that people assume they can't overcome. And often a society is faced with a hurdle and it falls to the child to be the hero, which I really like. You know, the child isn't necessarily placed in that role because society doesn't really do that. It doesn't say, let's turn to the 9-year-old and let them get us out of this. But through whatever circumstance it is, in Roald Dahl, in some of his books, the character's parents get eaten by a rhino, so suddenly they're out of the equation.
You're so right. This is such a powerful narrative, isn't it? It puts kids at the heart of the hero role. And kids have that right. And if we don't let them do that in the material world, we've got to kind of create those spaces where they can at least mentally be the heroes. And I'm thinking, you know, Pippi Longstocking. Exactly. Yeah. All the books have kids at the centre of the hero story.
That's right, and ultimately, you know, theatre or books as well, literature is it's allegory. You know, it's a way of us being able to look at human circumstance with enough sense of remove, because, you know, the story on the stage has dragons in it and everything. So we know it to be farcical. We know it to be pretend. But within that, we see the qualities promoted in the hero character or the negative qualities promoted in the antagonist, which kind of gives us some insight into those things that we as humans do well and those things that we don't. And I think it's nice for children, just as with adults, to be able to objectively look at ourselves sometimes like that and care for a protagonist who might in another circumstance be you.
Yeah. What a kind of delicious privilege to climb back into your child self to
absolutely
write these stories. And I'd love to read some of the reviews by young people of your work.
There have been a few. It's nice. There are a couple of festivals that my works have gone to where they do make a point. There's one in New Zealand, in Auckland, I believe. They make quite a specific point of getting populations of children to move between the shows and to pen the write-ups, which is kind of doubly unnerving.
It's I'll say.
Getting a review from an adult is something I've kind of got under my belt and I'm quite comfy with.
Exactly.
A child's one, yeah, it still
throws
me
thing.
For six.
It's a good confrontation. Look, terrific to have you on Life Matters. Good luck with the play, The Violent Outburst That Drew Me to You. Beautiful
Thank
title.
You.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's Tasmanian playwright Finnegan Krackmeyer. And if you're around Sydney way, Finnegan's play The Violent Outburst That Drew Me to You, it opens at Riverside Theatre in Parramatta tonight. It runs until November 30, and you'll find the details on the Life Matters website.